T.C. Hill is not a doctor and does not claim to be a doctor or licensed in any type of medical field. Don't be an idiot and use anything heard on the show as medical advice. This information should be used for educational purposes only, and you should contact your doctor for any medical advice. Now get off me.
This is the good sounding corner.
Yeah.
Don't screw it up.
Welcome to Kick It Naturally. I'm Kenna McEnroe, and I'm here with T.C. Hill, author, natural health expert, blah, blah, blah. But none of that really matters today because we're doing a sad show.
Yeah, we have a sad show.
Yeah. We just want to say thank you for the outpouring of support when we lost Will. Of course, it's a huge loss, not just to us, but to everyone who knew him.
Yeah, and if you guys, anybody that doesn't know, Will passed away early in May, and when the news broke, the outpouring of love and support and all the messages that we got from you guys was really incredible. It was really amazing. We'll even share some of those today while we're kind of talking about this, but just want to say thank you. It really meant a lot. This was I'm sure you can imagine how difficult this was, but it helped to know all the people that he touched and that you guys were supporting us and everything.
Exactly. And we appreciate your patience. We needed a little time before we could try to talk about this on a show without the whole show just consisting of blubbering noises
So thanks for your patience there, guys. We'll get some stuff going, but I didn't think we could talk about this yet. Everybody I talked to about it so far, my face just starts leaking. I didn't know how I was going to do that. So we gave ourselves a few months and we'll get this going. But one thing that happened is, I wanted his parents to understand how many people that he touched with all these messages that we were getting. So we set up this thing on the Kick It Naturally site where if Will had touched your life, you could send a message and I would pass it along to his parents. So we have a few of those today that I want to share. Kenny, do you want to read the first one?
Sure. Greg from Cedar Rapids, Iowa. To Will's family, I don't think I've ever been more sad to hear about someone passing who I'd never met. I can't think of a better way to spend your life than to help others live out their full potential. I'm profoundly sorry for your loss and praying for each of you. Thank you for sharing Will with us and hoping you'll find some comfort in knowing how many people he helped.
And we had a few of these that we wanted to read, but we're going to spread them out because you can't read them all in a row without starting to cry. And Kenny, you barely made that one, so that was a good job. But if you want to read all of them, just go to kickitnaturally.com and you'll see that search box and just put in there words for Will and you'll find that page. And even if you want to submit one now, do submit that, because when they come in, I'm sending them on to his parents, because it's so amazing for them to see these. For Will's funeral, Nina and I, our producer Nina, who was very close to Will as well, we went up to the service up in the Bay Area, and his parents had this huge board with all these pictures and everything, of course, but there's also these like pages of all these messages that you guys sent and that you posted on the Facebook support group of, you know, how Will touched you and changed your life and all this stuff, and it was so great to see his parents telling all their friends and everybody, like, look at all these people that sent these messages that had never even met Will in person and just were so touched by everything that he did. So we're going to share some of these, and if you guys want to go and read the rest of them, you can go check them out, or if you want to submit one to his parents, that'd be great too. We don't even really know everything that went on. The show, as you guys know, has been on hiatus. Kenna had a baby. I don't know if you've had a baby.
Yes,
but
you can hear him in the background right now, just blabbering away.
So he's on the show now, and that'll be great. But since we didn't want to make Kenna trying to do all these shows, and Will was very slammed with all of his med school stuff going on, so we're like, okay, let's just take a few months off. So talking to a lot of Will's family and people that he was close to up in the Bay Area when Nina and I were up there, we just kind of gathered what we could, because the conversations that I had with Will since then were just short emails. I guess you can't really, you don't know how somebody's doing in a quick email like that. And I knew that he had some things in his life that were challenging him and some personal issues that were going on. But after talking to his family and everyone, it appears that it was much, much worse than you would ever imagine Will having to deal with. And it appears that it had been going on for months, and I'm not sure why he didn't reach out to us, but the issues seemed significant enough that he must have felt like he couldn't get past those. And he decided that he was going to leave this place, and that's kind of what happened. And his parents said that they did everything they could to help him. And I think the difficult part for us, I know that Will's parents and his close friends understood how Will helped other people, but especially for me, Will's main jam almost was helping people out of depression. That was the clientele base that, you know, when you start helping people with a specific issue, all of a sudden all their friends with the similar issue kind of show up, and depression was a big one for Will, and I know that he's personally helped hundreds of people out of that. So it's kind of troubling to see how he wasn't able to help himself, or at least understand how to ask for help if he needed that. But it kind of, it's a little more, it helps us understand. You know, we had an episode where we talked about depression, and we talked about how, you know, when depression is caused by life, you need to get help to do that. But when it's a clinical situation, you don't understand why, there's a lot of steps that you can take to improve that. But one thing that we mentioned on that show is that sometimes when you're in that space, it's hard to even want to pull out of it. And I think that's when it's important to understand how crucial it is to get help, right, Ken?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, when you're just in the thralls of it yourself, with anything, depression or whatever your problem is, it's so hard to ask for help or even want help at that point, because you just feel like everything is lost. There's no point, you know? So it would have been great had we known. Maybe we could have forced him to do something, but even then, you can't really force people, you know?
Yeah, you can't, and they have to want to do that. But of course, you know, I feel like, wow, if I'd have known, I could have just showed up at his door and said, hi, I live here now, and we're going to work this out, you know? And
yeah.
But
put some supplements and different things in his drink and food without him knowing.
Right, just do what you can. Because I think that, you know, one thing to learn from this for everybody out there is that, you know, a lot of people that deal with depression, they just hear from other people, oh, that's just in your head. And I, you know, we've talked a lot of times on the show that, look, this is not something that's just in your head. This is a real thing. This is a physiological thing. And whether the depression is caused by events in your life, which it appeared to be with Will from the stories that his family and friends told me, whether that's the situation or it's just a clinical depression, either way, yeah, if it's a thing that's going on with physiology and body chemistry and stuff that's creating that, either way, you have to take steps in order to get out of that. And I think that I have experienced people and clients that I've had that sometimes if they slip into a place that's just a little bit darker than they normally are, it's kind of it can be comforting. It can be comforting in a way that I want to be in this dark place. And I know the things that pull me out of it, but I don't want to do those things right now. And I think that that's when you really have to get enough help that someone can help you get to a place that, okay, I do want to fix this myself. And of course, the understanding of how to do that is important. But with Will, we know that he understood how to do that.
Mm-hmm. I guess that's what makes it, you know, even more hard, is to know that Will, out of everybody, probably knew all the steps. And right. So it just, you know, it's so sad all around. There's no happy about it, but
It's definitely the definition of tragic. I think this makes the definition of tragic clear. Let's read a couple more of these words for Wills that we got.
Okay. Mark H. from Australia. I don't know Will personally. However, I have followed his work alongside Tony's for a number of years now, and I can tell you now that Will had a massive motivational impact on me. What an absolute inspiration and gift to the world, especially in the area of health and fitness. He will continue to inspire me in the years to come as I navigate this rocky path to perfect health and helping others do the same. Thank you for being you, Will.
And that's kind of how it was. You know, one thing, I'll go ahead and read the one from Debbie, unless you need a break.
Okay. Debbie D. When seeing the very sad news yesterday that Mr. Will had left us, my husband quietly commented, "Without Will, you would still be so sick." When Will graciously agreed to help me, I didn't know that I was struggling with an undiagnosed obscure physical problem that potentially had very dire consequences for me. Will sensed something was wrong and helped to connect me with the doctor who successfully treated me. Will's wise advice then guided me back to good health. Because of Will's caring intervention, I'm feeling great and I'm currently in graduate school getting my master's in clinical counseling. Will's life made a tremendous difference in my life, for which I'll be forever grateful. It was a blessing to be even a small part of his world. Thanks, Mr. Will. You know, sometimes it's the people that give the most of themselves to others that we don't even, you know, we forget that they may need help or that they're not taking care of themselves because they're giving so much time and energy to everyone else. And it's, you know, it's always shocking when you like a motivational speaker or a world-renowned doctor or somebody, you know, you see, you don't know this is even going on because they would never let you know because they have to be strong. They have to help everybody. That's what they feel their whole life is about. And then they get neglected.
Right. We've seen this through history where people put all of their focus towards helping other people and they forget that, maybe I help myself a little bit. And I've caught myself in that situation where, you know, I wasn't taking care of myself and not feeling well. And then, you know, but I got to finish replying to this person's email. And I realized, hey, you know, you might want to just take care of yourself for 5 minutes. And I think that it's easy for people to forget that. And then we see these tragic stories like this. And I think that Will was just a person that loved everybody. Like, you know, we have kids now, Kenna, and we understand what it's like to truly love this thing so much. But, like, Will was like that, like at the gas station, the attendant he just met. Here's, I need $40 on pump six. And he loved that guy that much. And that's just the way that he was.
Yeah. I guess I'm lucky in that I've always been selfish up until now.
That was so much easier, and that worked out a lot better.
Now I have this baby that, you know, I would do anything for, and I'm like, oh, dang it.
Right.
But even like on airplanes, I mean, you have to put your own mask on before you can put your child's mask on, because if you can't breathe and function, you're never going to be able to help anybody else. And so I think it's so important that we do. I have to remind myself all the time, like, I need to be healthy. I need to make this choice because my child needs me. So I need to be healthy and I need to be sane and I need to be rested and I need to feel good, you know?
Right. And we've also received a lot of messages from people asking me, you know, are you going to continue this? Or, you know, I hope you continue the work and doing the show. And of course we're going to. It's important. I feel like it's even more important now.
Definitely.
Yeah, and so we had kind of planned before, even when we took the hiatus with Kenna, was, you know, those of you who have a kid know that it's three full-time jobs.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a full-time job, it's three or four of them. So I didn't want to burden Kenna, and we decided that Kenna will join us on shows occasionally when she can, but that I plan to do some shows on my own where I'm just teaching about a topic and have some guests on the shows too. So I've already started working on some of those, and those will be out soon. I really appreciate the patience of you guys and giving us this time to kind of heal a little bit. And so what we did for this show is we pulled a lot of our favorite Will clips, and we found some of the things that we knew were his favorite thing to talk about, and we put them together in like a Best of Will episode so that you can kind of listen to some of those clips. But also, just in case somebody hears something in a clip, they're like, wait, I want to hear more about that. What was he talking about with that? Because some of the things we wanted to, like some of the stuff he liked to explain, we put that in there. So I tried to mention what shows that they're from. So if you want to go hear more of what he's talking about, you'll be able to do that, and I won't drive you crazy by just giving you a teaser. So let's read one more of these words from Will.
Okay. Jacqueline K. I am ever so sorry for your pain. What a tremendous loss to the world. Thoughts and hearts go out to you and his family. My gorgeous little brother had a similar story. The pain is immense, but after time, their spirit manages to sail back into your life and bring happiness again.
Yeah, and I think I really appreciate this message from Jacqueline, and I think it made me feel a lot better. Just thinking that I can see that, you know, I can see that at some point I'll be able to, you know, feel like he's talking to me or stuff like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, before we play these clips, I think a crucial thing that we want to make sure people understand is that when you're in a dark place like that, there are answers available. There are things that you can do to at least improve your physical state to help you move past whatever it is that has put you there. But when you're in that state, it can be just as crucial to get help, to find somebody to talk to. So don't skip that. Don't feel like, just worry about it later, because I think what we see is that you don't know how dark you need to get before you're not willing to help yourself anymore. And it could be just a little bit darker, a little bit deeper of a hole, and all of a sudden you're to the point where I don't care, I don't want to do anything. So I think it's important that as soon as you feel like, hey, maybe this isn't going so great and maybe I need some help, then ask, you know, reach out to someone that can give you some help.
When you think all is lost, it's not. I mean, what worked for somebody else may work for you. It may not, but you've got to keep trying, and the next day is a new day, you know, and just hold on for that, because I know I've gone through dark spells too, and then I'll go to sleep, and then the day will wake up, and something will sometimes have lifted, or something good will happen, and it'll raise my spirits and bring me hope again. So, you know, talk to somebody, reach out, try to get help. It's hard to do, especially when you're in that situation. But, yeah, or if you see someone in that situation, right, don't be scared to say something, that I see that you're down. Can I help you? Can I do anything, you know?
Right. And some of the people who are dealing with those issues, they don't understand why, because there isn't something that made them depressed. They are just in that state. Yeah. And when that's the case, do things like listen to our depression episode to at least understand what may be the issue for you. And we've heard from a lot of people over the years that just that episode alone helped them find some answers for themselves. And, of course, all the people that Will helped as well. So search out the information. Dig into what we've laid out there. But just remember that if you're feeling lost, reach out for help. Ask. It's really important. So, you know, for Kenna, myself, and our producer, Nina, who's also on the show with us now because she was close with Will, we truly appreciate all your support and well wishes and the kind words that you shared with us. And, Will, we love and miss you. And you're one of a kind. There'll never be another like you.
I hope that you are someplace being happy, Will, and we love you, and we'll never forget you. And your words and your help will live on forever with everyone that you so selfishly helped in your lifetime.
Thanks, Will. I love you.
Thanks, Nina. Okay, so these first clips that you're going to hear from Will are from our acid reflux and our cravings episodes, so enjoy.
I think you'd agree where we kind of focus on kind of the two main parts of digestion being stomach acid and bile flow, like having both of those happening. And usually if those two things are going well, like your stomach's making enough acid and your bile production and bile flow is good, then digestion's happening pretty well for that person. I think maybe the best news we have to share with people about this is that it's usually not so much a matter of like willpower, which is, who knows how to fix it, it's a whole other esoteric realm of, it's, you know, hard to get a hold on. But when you know some of the base chemistry that causes cravings, it can really, really help fix things right away. And I think some of the main things that I think you'll agree on is that we see that cause that are when people's blood pressure is too low, or their blood sugar is unstable, or they're not getting the nutrients that they need from the food because they're not digesting it well or eating the right ones for them. And what's really great about being able to break down protein is that your body, especially proteins that are high in what are called purines, which are essentially amino acid groups that your body can turn into blood sugar pretty readily. And it can store those purines in the liver as this energy form called pyruvate, which is basically like blood sugar in a savings account. That's sort of like a diet by of like problem avoidance,
right,
rather
right.
than solution of like, actually, maybe a lot of people really need the proteins and nitrogen they get from it. And the solution isn't to just avoid them as long as they can until they break down and have to eat steak or eggs or something like that. It's get your stomach acid on point, and then you'll be able to eat all the nutrients that you need rather than just avoid ones you can't break down.
Or that you're dropping acid.
Yeah,
you know,
that's
really
that's
not.
That's a different thing.
That's
but
totally
it's,
different.
It'll be that'll be another show next
okay.
week.
Which can actually make you constipated. For
uh-huh. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Good to know.
Yeah.
Good
so,
to know.
Strange. So it may be a topic that we need to talk about if our listeners are all plugged up.
Uh-huh.
Right. So don't ask how I know that.
These clips are from our allergies and asthma show, the episode about having trouble gaining weight, and our PMS show.
Sympathetic state is when you feel really bad for everybody when they fall down.
Right.
No,
he used your explanation.
I
right.
Know,
no, sympathetic state's the fight or flight state when your body has a perceived threat of emergency that's around
or
there.
You're about to get on a plane.
Right. Which can happen from, like, if you're a slow oxidizer, your nervous system might put you into the fight or flight sympathetic state all the time to try to speed your carbohydrate metabolism. Or you could be in the opposite issue. You could be a fast oxidizer and your nervous system might act the opposite way, and you might more frequently be stuck in the parasympathetic or the rest and digest state.
Huh. I had one question. How did we all get so screwed up in the first place?
We're like, whacked.
If you are stuck in the parasympathetic state, it's going to make you way more prone to having allergies. There is a fancy little equation I'll talk about in a second, but there's a couple little things you can just look at in your own chemistry, like, or in your own physiology. Like if your hands are like always warmer than your upper arm, like your tricep, that's a little indication that you might be in a parasympathetic imbalance, as well as if your pupils are always kind of like smaller rather than larger than most pupils. That's another little indicator that you might be in a parasympathetic state. But a lot of people will take allergy medication that pushes their nervous system into a fight or flight or sympathetic state, and then boom, all of a sudden they don't have allergies. And like, oh, awesome. And I'll just say it real quick, as simply as possible, one more time, this equation. If you do your blood pressure and take your breath rate, which is just count how many times you breathe in a minute, then you do this. You subtract the systolic by the diastolic pressure, the top number by the bottom number, which gives you this pulse differential. Divide that by the number of breaths you take in a minute, and it gives you a number. If that number is less than 2, you're probably in a parasympathetic imbalance. If that number is more than 3, you're in the opposite fight or flight sympathetic imbalance.
And don't try to do this while you're driving down the road right now.
And again, these are all connected. Like, you could be primarily in the parasympathetic state because you're primarily a fast oxidizer, because you're anabolic, because your stomach acid is weak. Like, they're all connected. So don't just think, oh, I'm just going to push myself to be more sympathetic by drinking coffee or whatever.
Right.
You want to look at the whole system. What we're saying is we don't agree with that little paradigm.
Right. We don't
I don't
at
know
all.
If we said that clearly, but we don't. But people are tending to be skinny or muscular or fat because of things that are happening.
in their physiology.
Right, not because of their astrology or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Right, so that's why. That's why people are overweight, because their bones are large.
Exactly. Really big bones. This was a very large boned person.
This bone right here is like 125.
What species was this?
Yeah. Right. I got heavy
femurs. Anything your body cannot overcome or utilize is a toxin. So... And then there's also just straight toxins that you can eat, like weight gainers from GNC. Like, those are just straight toxins.
Because they're chemical.
They're just chemical garbage. But then even healthy organic farmers caught grown veggies and meats and stuff can also be a toxin in your body if you can't break it down. So not only does it not give you the nutrition you need to build cells like muscle and make energy for those cells, but now it actually drains your body of energy and depletes you, which is how I ate 5,000 calories a day for a decade and stayed under 100 pounds.
Right.
That's an impressive metabolic feat. Right. If I was actually digesting the food, but what was actually happening was that food would just sit like a rotting lump in my intestinal tract until it eventually worked its way out. The body knows that muscle is very expensive. It takes a lot of energy. Day to day, it's like having a high mortgage.
Right.
It takes a lot of money to pay for that, you know?
Is that why it goes away so fast?
Exactly. Like, if you start fasting, like, that's the first thing to go. Like, who's burning all the fuel? Get rid of those guys. Like,
right.
You know? So you can conserve and keep your survival as a priority. So you have to really convince your body that it absolutely has to build muscle and that it totally has the resources it needs to. Or else it's just going to minimize the amount of muscle that you have. So when your body doesn't have enough, let's use the example, electrolytes or energy in general, your blood pressure can become dangerously low. And we call that like the electrolyte deficient state. But if it goes really, really low, you can get a seizure, which is not good at all.
The body hates that.
Yeah.
Seizures, yeah, y'all grab my tongue if I have a seizure.
Not helpful. So your body doesn't know that you have like cereal downstairs in the pantry or whatever. It thinks you're going to have to hunt or gather to acquire food to like fix the situation, which takes a lot more time than going downstairs and, you know.
Right. The zebra might not want to get whacked
right
in the head. Yeah.
And you need resources to be able to go hunt, you know, or whatever it is. So your body will wake you up way in advance to try to go fix that and find some resource, some food, some nutrition. And as such, like, you won't be able to sleep well through the night when your body starts leaning in that direction. When you avoid a digestive weakness that you have, you're going to feel a little better. Like, anytime that you eat a food that you can't digest, it's just going to give you problems, even if your body needs the nutrition that's in that food.
Like, what kind of problems might you have, Will?
Well, for example, if you don't have enough hydrochloric acid in your stomach, you're not going to be able to break down proteins. They're just going to be problems. And they're going to contain a lot of pathogens, especially in animal products, that your stomach acid should nuke, should sterilize.
Should wipe out and
kill. Yeah, should kill it, right. But if you don't have that stomach acid present, all those little critters get into your body, like parasites and mycorrhizal fungi and garbage. You don't...
Easy for you to say.
Yeah, stuff. It was not easy to say. And the protein itself will occur to your body as a foreign toxic invader that actually drains your body of energy as your immune system tries to attack it instead of your acid and pepsin breaking it down into usable amino acids. So when people don't have enough stomach acid to handle the proteins that they eat or sterilize the animal products that they eat, then they're going to feel a lot better when they don't eat those foods. Now, that's not like a full total solution because you still actually need protein. You're not going to last that long without it. So your body will start to break down itself and use your own proteins from your own cells for energy and daily metabolic functions. So we see like people feel this like little bell curve of like they feel way better when they cut out meats, and then over time they start to get weird new problems.
Right.
And their health decreases. So the solution really, though, isn't to just not eat protein. It's you should take steps to try to fix your stomach acid levels so that meat doesn't just sit in a garbage can in your stomach. It gets broken down and created into usable nutrition. An ideal posture, it's like you're holding a like a flagpole perfectly upright, which doesn't take a lot of effort. It's just like these little micro adjustments that like small postural muscles are making in your inner pelvis and calves and things like that. But you shouldn't have locked tension in your abs or your low back. You shouldn't have to think about like tucking your tailbone or pulling your stomach in or pulling none of that. Like, it should just be relaxed like a little kid.
These clips are from our food addiction show and the episode about coconut oil.
And we also have Hottie Patati, Cutie Patootie, Will Schmidt, fitness trainer to the stars.
Hi.
You got double named, Will Schmidt.
Mm-hmm. Went with both. I thought that would diminish after she got engaged.
Yeah, I know. Married.
Married. Full on. I think, like, to go back to Madeline's for a second, like, why you don't get addicted to, like, whole, like, low-sugar foods is that those foods take really good digestion to break down and get the nutrition from, and they're not, like, as quick a source of immediate energy, which sugar and processed foods are. So if you're having, like, a low blood sugar moment or low blood pressure, your body's going to crave something that will help push your blood pressure and blood sugar back up really quickly, and that is not broccoli. So when you're in what we call an electrolyte deficient state, which is shown by if you test your blood pressure and it's low, like under 113 over 73, that usually comes from not having great digestion, and that makes your blood sugar kind of unstable, because if you're not with strong digestion, you can't really use proteins and sometimes fats for fuel, so your body has to rely more on carbohydrates for energy, and that puts you in this whole blood sugar roller coaster throughout the day.
Or if you're burning just glucose mostly, you're going to rip through it pretty quickly, and you're going to have those sugar spikes and crashes.
Yeah, like a plane with only running on only one instead of three engines. Like, that engine's going to run out of fuel much faster than three fuel tanks. So that person that has to rely mostly on carbohydrates for energy is going to constantly be pulled back to those, and they're never going to really feel all that stable. Like, there'll be these elevated blood sugar level moments, and then pretty quickly drop again. So that messes with your mood, your mental performance, your fat gain, your, like, inability to really build muscle and healthy cells, and your immune system. All sorts of consequences come from being in that state. So if you do have low blood pressure and you think you're just, like, weak-willed and can't, like, stick to a diet because of some discipline problem.
Right. Why can't I do that?
Yeah. It's probably much more like the case that your body is just trying to not let your blood pressure go so low that you get a seizure. Because your blood needs to stay dispersed. Like, the cells can't stick together. And if there's too few electrolytes or too many of the wrong kind of electrolytes, your blood will actually clot and collapse inside. And that's the normal cause of a heart attack if you have too many of the wrong kind of electrolytes, or a seizure if you have too few of the right kind of electrolytes. Yeah, I love this one quote. I think it was from one of Rob Fagan's books, where he points out that there's no such thing as an essential carbohydrate. There's, like, essential fats and essential amino acids, things like if you don't eat them, your body will become deficient.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no essential carbohydrate. It's just, like,
right, because there's so many things we could turn into.
Right, but we're told, like, oh, the food pyramid thing, you should have, like, 60% of your meals come from calories come from carbs, which has its own whatever background. But the thing is, like, if you don't eat carbs, your body turns into, like, a fat burning machine or a protein burning machine. As soon as you do eat carbs, it becomes your body's preferred fuel source.
Right, because it's the easiest one to rip through, right?
Right, and a lot of people go to that because they don't have great digestion to break down proteins and fats well. So as soon as you do eat carbs, you become carb reliant. So it becomes what he calls a self-fulfilling prophecy of now these carbs are essential for your energy production because you just switched to being a carb burner.
Right.
And that other voice you hear over there who's checking his text right now, Will Hottie Patati Schmidt.
I'm looking up the composition of coconut oil.
Oh, okay. It's podcast
just
related.
To refresh.
It's podcast related.
Was she just yelling at you a little bit, kind of?
Yeah, I was like, hey, you're not paying. I'm paying extra attention.
I'm giving you a hard time.
There's a lot going on with this, so don't think this is an exhaustive explanation of the catabolic-anabolic imbalance, but you don't want to be too much of one or the other, and coconut oil pushes you to be more anabolic, and if you are already anabolic, that could be imbalancing. And the way it really messes the individual up that's too anabolic already is it screws up the ability of that cell to make energy. It can make that cell too closed off to the surrounding environment, and it screws up the oxidation of carbohydrates and fats and energy, and it creates a very low oxygen level inside the cell. And think of it like you have an engine in your car.
I have an engine in my car.
Awesome. Well, this will work
this
as
is gonna perfect,
be a perfect
yeah, story
okay,
for
so
me.
Run with that and think about if your engine is getting too much fuel and not enough oxygen into the engine. So it creates this, like, choking, like, extra smoggy exhaust, right? That's what happens in an anabolic cellular metabolism. They're forced to make energy without enough oxygen getting into the cell, and it will still try to run like your car clunking down the street, like pumping out all this smog, but it's creating energy in this dirty way through anaerobic fermentation, which means like low oxygen or oxygenless energy metabolism. So it creates all this extra lactic acid, which can make you freak out and contribute
anxiety to issues and stuff like that.
And also just low energy, because you're not combusting your fuel. You're not turning that fuel into clean, usable energy effectively because of the problems with oxygen not being able to get into the cells, which is related to this whole anabolic thing. So the more anabolic you get, the more dirty fuel and lactic acid and lower energy production you'll get, and that's not useful.
From our Using Supplements episode.
Hi.
Hi. I never know how your hair is going to look.
Yeah, it's always... I never know either.
Yeah. It's always... He's got the fastest growing hair, though. Like, it does 1 week grow it can fast. Be shaved, and the next week he'll come in with dreadlocks.
The fro.
You know? I think that speaks well of my protein synthesis. Uh-huh,
it does. There you go. You should put your hair on the package.
Right. I do. I leave a little bit of hair in all my protein
packets. Good. Just a little hair at the bottom.
That's how our body, when we're forming collagen, like in your skin or connective tissues... You have to be able to link those protein chains together, and vitamin C plays a critical role in enabling those amino acids to do that. So when we don't, or those proteins to do that rather. So when we don't have enough, we see that collagen formation is impaired, and that's like to an extreme degree. You'll see things like scurvy, where like the old sailors and pirates used their skin used to start falling off, and that's just like that poorly knitted sweater. You don't have the cross links to hold the collagen proteins together, so they start to come off real easy.
Why doesn't everyone want to take fish oil like, you know, Dr. Oz and every other person is telling everyone to do?
Yeah. Well, the word essential has been attached to them by very effective marketing. It's just like sort of in our heads that there's these essential amino acids and then there's these essential fatty acids that we've all got to consume a lot of. And there's a lot of support for those within pseudoscientific articles and sort of some bad science. It's concluded that they're really helpful and that we're going to die without them. But those same studies, if looked at more carefully, you start to realize the misconclusions that they made about them. And it turns out that a lot of the fatty acids that have been super hyped as essential are actually very damaging and cause a lot of free radical damage. Even if they've been like perfectly distilled and molecularly preserved on the shelf and in a refrigerator in the grocery store, once they get into your bloodstream, they end up getting oxidized and turn rancid and create a lot of free radical damage. So especially if you're someone who's already in a catabolic or a tissue breakdown state, putting more fatty acids is like pouring gasoline on a fire. So when you get too much vitamin D in your bloodstream, it makes your cells... your bloodstream too calcium retentive, and it pulls calcium out of the tissues where it belongs, and it creates a big pH imbalance as well as a mineral depletion at the tissue level. So you need calcium in your tissues to stimulate like your immune system and for the muscle cells and nerve cells to function properly, and you create a big imbalance when that highly, highly alkaline mineral gets pulled out and super saturated in the bloodstream. It screws up energy production, and it gets deposited in weird places, depletes your skeletal system. So there's all sorts of problems that come from the excess vitamin D pulling calcium into the bloodstream and supersaturating it and creates hypercalcemia. I'm also not a fan at all of people taking supplements just because, like in general, or just taking a bunch of supplements because they heard these things were good for them without any real way of tracking it other than a vague sense of if they're feeling better or not, you know, or if like, even if they're trying to just make a symptom better or not, like if you're not getting clear on what kind of impact you want to create in your body and how this nutrient or supplement is supposed to create that desirable change, and even a way to track like is it working or not, like that's an intelligent way to use a supplement. And just buying like a handful or like a shopping cart full of supplements and taking them all, it might work, but if it does, like you're still like you're going to be clueless as to exactly how it worked or what exactly happened, and chances are it's not going to work at all, and you're not going to know why. there was a minute there where a particular diet called the body ecology diet was really popular, and everybody was eating fermented foods with every meal.
Right.
And everyone's like, I feel awesome. And then after about a month, everybody had stopped because they're like, I don't feel so good. Like, there's starting to be too many endotoxins. And then I also had another friend who's like a nutritionist coach who's like, I feel good, but I have to go to the bathroom all the time. And they're healthy bowel movements, but I have like so many of them. It's ridiculous. And then when you look at like what is like stool actually made of, other than like the waste of the food you break down, about half of it in most people is actually the bacteria. Like there's, that is like the composition of it. So if you're eating tons of fermented foods and taking tons of probiotics, you're basically adding stool matter. I'm also against all the colors and dyes, which are, I think they were originally created as biochemical weapons.
Oh, yeah.
I think the Nazis like created Red 5 as a neurotoxin, and now it's in M&Ms. Like, so all the dyes, it was for real. Like, all the dyes are like crazy. Titanium dioxide's also in a lot of things.
Do you think that was their plan all along? Yeah. Just to get it into our food
source?
No,
they're winning. They're secretly winning. So, right. So the colors and dyes, unless it's like, you know, now supplement companies are getting smarter and they're like coloring things with like beetroot powder. Awesome. Good, like much better choice than Red 5 or Yellow or whatever it is.
Right. Some of Will's favorite topics to talk about were found in our posture and alignment episode. And he talked about soil in our show about breaking down vitamins.
When I was an amateur, when I was a beginner therapist, I didn't have this level of efficiency with it. But most of the time now, I've been doing it for a decade, like, and get people significantly, or either like significantly out of pain or all the way out of pain in the moment, in the session. And that is because the pain is not, in most cases, the pain is not caused by anatomical damage and, you know, just kind of like a you're screwed thing that happened to you in the past. The pain is present usually because of the position. Position of the joints and the position of the body and the stress that gravity and the torque on the joint from the misalignment, that's what's causing the pain. And that position can be changed and rearranged in the moment through corrective exercises. It can create an immediate result where it can change like the weight distribution in your body. It can change the position of how the joints are lined up. And then that has an immediate impact on how well the joints can move without pain. So that's a product of a coordination that your body learns through corrective exercises. And your body, your nervous system, will forget those coordinations fairly quickly. And it will remember them more and longer and eventually ingrain them if you perform the exercises with repetition. Just like learning how to play an instrument, like learning how to play a guitar, I might show you how to play a G chord or something like that, or a C, and you learn it at the moment you know it, and then like an hour later, if I ask you, you kind of forgot, and it's not really drilled into your nervous system yet. But if you practiced, then it would get drilled in, and then it would just become automatic for you. So the fact that they didn't last is very normal, but the fact that they can last, and you can establish ingrained that pattern into your body where you don't have to keep doing the exercises forever, because once you've ingrained it, it's ingrained and your body knows it. So repetition for a while can free you. Body is a unit, and that it has a lot to do with like physics and how things stack up correctly. So there are muscles all the way from the bottom of your feet, all the way up through your core, all the way up through the top of your head, that are supposed to work in coordination with each other, keeping your body stacked up in ideal vertical alignment. And I do have a picture of what ideal alignment looks like. If you go to thewesternyogi.com and just type in posture into the search box, it should bring up the page or the blog post that I write about that kind of at length, and it shows what ideal posture looks like. But just to describe it audibly, your head, shoulders, hips, and knees, and ankles should all stack perfectly vertically. Much like a flagpole, and from the front view, you're
like a what?
Like a flagpole held perfectly. Okay. Right? And from the front view, your feet and knees should point straight ahead and be stacked directly beneath where the femur inserts into the hip. So they're, again, like stilts, like vertically aligned stilts. They shouldn't be like super close together, wide apart. And your hips and shoulders should be level, and your arms should hang at your side, rather than your arms like your hands flopping down in front of you.
So, Will, was there anything else you want to hit on with C before we move on for that?
Just also how you're talking about modern times and the changes in nutrition, that, yeah, there's more toxins. And at the same time, there is, in most crops and livestock, less nutrition present.
Right.
The degradation of the quality of the soil that crops are grown in, there's both mineral depletion as well as chemical destruction of the microbiome that should be present in the soil. And that microbiome is really, really important in helping the minerals in the soil get into the plants that we eat and that the animals that we eat.
You may see posts sort of dissing organic produce, saying like, oh, the mineral content isn't necessarily any better in organic versus conventional foods. And a lot of times that's true. They just
they're not getting the pesticides.
Yeah, so that's the great thing. They're not getting the toxins from it. But there's a step further you can go with food production, where it's called like nutrition farming. And with that, they really care about the nutrient levels in the soil as well as the biology in the soil, like the mycorrhiza and fungi, that they're like the intestinal flora. In your case, like they help nutrients get from your food to your cells. Same thing in the soil. When you practice sustainable agriculture and nutrition farming, you'll have a lot of those fungi in the soil that help the minerals from the dirt get to the plants. And when you test the nutrient levels of those produce compared to organic,
it's way different.
It's crazy high. Yeah. It's like the spinach Popeye eats. You know, it's like, right. It's supercharged.
My brother, you will be greatly missed.